Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG tonight for this exciting episode, because holy shit, has my brain never been so stimulated by an enigma. Why is Elon going full ham onto Substack? No one knows the answer. And there's basically four valid theories that intersect each other in complex ways. Elon has not banned the Substack account, but he made their tweets not replyable, not likable, not retweetable. The only thing you can do to their tweet is quote tweet them, and then your quote tweet becomes unreplyable, unretweetable, and unlikable. Now, that is a level of control imposed on anything that is unequaled in the past. We've seen accounts being banned. We've seen tweets being downplayed in terms of, oh, you can't retweet. But you can't like, you can't reply, and you cannot even like or reply any tweet mentioning any Substack link. You can't. Now, the circumstances where this is happening involve many players, including the intelligence services of the government, the Pentagon, the ADL, Elon himself, and so many other things that we will all consider together. Oh my God. That is a brain teaser, this whole thing. Micronova has sent a super chat. He says, I would say US government agencies flex their influence for the Substack ban. I don't think it's an ADL thing. Hirsch's post about Nord Stream is probably why. Government response to WikiLeaks as example. Also, how long before the everyone pleaser Musk reverses this after a Twitter poll? You have an excellent reading of the situation. However, you make a fundamental error at the beginning of your super chat, Micronova. I expect better from you. You divide as a dichotomy whether it's the US government or the ADL. Whether it's the intelligence services of the US government or the ADL. Bro. Those are two branches of the same organization. I mean, this is admitted by the ADL. You are being more generous to the ADL than they are themselves. Because a couple of days ago, they tweeted that they work with the FBI on an everyday basis. They basically work in the office of the FBI. So I agree with your reading and all, but don't reduce the ADL being independent from the FBI. That doesn't exist. They are the same organization, just two faces of it. Silver Spider sends $5. Thank you so much. He says, hey, Jeff, in recent years, I have heard over and over again that whites think society and life is a zero-sum game against other races, but they are wrong. From many leftists online and in person, they argue that helping unfortunate people helps us all in the long run. How would you address this point? Well, I address it with evolution. So if you help someone, not only are you undermining the meritocratic systems of society, which are really what leads to wealth accumulation and property, it's the fact that we have to reward the people who make society advance by some measure. And the measure in capitalism is demand. It is the free market. It is, did you find something that people wanted to buy? We can argue on whether it's the perfect measure and whether there are defects to this measure. Sure. And I'm totally willing to engage with the leftist on this. But a system that actively seeks to destroy such measures of meritocracy is a system that rewards anti-meritocracy. It's a system that rewards not spending efforts to make society advance. And we know what happens in those systems in evolution. They are rewards for parasitism. And therefore, I mean, if you have a very poor person who brings nothing to society, who just wants to consume help, that person is getting is getting their evolutionary fitness increase in the socialist society. Whereas if you have someone who's willing to sacrifice a little bit of themselves to create something bigger that can change the world, that can help many people, that can create products that people will really want and need, that person is not rewarded in socialism, or it's less rewarded. Therefore, you have an evolutionary system that favors the person who brings nothing versus the person who brings something. The only way to favor an evolutionary direction in which humanity is incentivized at contributing to society is by rewarding this contribution. And the best system to reward it is capitalism. All right, let's get started on this enigmatic Sushtak affair. I had to call it Sushtak because there is such heavy censorship at Twitter right now that if I had called it Substack, I would have been subject to censorship, and I don't want my account banned or anything. I respect our God Emperor Elon and all of his decisions, and I do not want this show that I'm doing tonight to be interpreted as a challenge to the authority of great Elon. But look at this. Substack themselves, they have posted a tweet without link that says, "A statement from our founders. Any platform that benefits from writers' and creators' work but doesn't give them control over their relationships will inevitably wonder how to respond to the platforms that do." And look at this. I'm going to try liking it. "Some actions on this tweet have been disabled by Twitter." I'm going to try replying to it. "Hello, Substack. Big fan. Big fan. Something went wrong, but don't fret. Let's give it another shot." Okay, how about retweeting? Retweet. "Some actions on this tweet have been disabled by Twitter." This is not even leading to another platform. It is purely speech, and it is speech that is encoded, and it's actually hard to know what they refer to if you haven't followed the story. This morning, people started noticing that any links to Substack were heavily affected by all these Twitter measures, so much so that people were scared of saying the word Substack. Substack, of course, is this platform that is basically a modern blogging platform. And, you know, blogging is so 2004, but somehow Substack has succeeded at crossing the Rubicon and making a platform that was making blogging great again somehow. And they've been very successful at it. And much of the Twitter files are actually independent journalists, and these independent journalists make a living from their Substack. So Substack has become a way to have a kind of centralized newspaper, but that is written by independent journalists with no editorial oversight, no central control. An open platform that writers who think differently from the mainstream could write. It plays such an important position in the internet right now, because Substack has been much less censorious than most platforms. I would say the only less censorious platform might be Gab. That is just how Substack places itself. And so people were afraid of even using the word Substack on Twitter. So here the evolutionist has suggested a code, a submarine and a stack of pancakes. So Substack, that could be our new code to say, please go to the Substack. We will talk in codes, in hands, in gestures. We have to find ways to say Substack without Elon detecting. That is what I tried illustrating on the thumbnail today. And here's the question. What caused this? And what is the series of causes? What is the conspiracy behind this, basically? Because at this point, I'm seeing a conspiracy. Sorry if that makes me a conspiracy theorist. But look at this. You don't have these events lining up like this. I guarantee that these events are all linked in some way together. I have covered this article yesterday. It's an article from 4 days ago. 4 days ago, the ADL opens up the punches against Substack says anti-Semitism, false information, and hate speech find a home on Substack. So that could be your hypothesis, right? Okay, well, this is a case of Twitter censorship. It was one of the hypotheses I've raised this morning as we saw the symptoms start to show on Twitter. Is it possible that this is the first layer interpretation? So ADL goes after Substack, decides to point to them as the culprit of white supremacism and anti-Semitism. The article is not super convincing. They show example and I'm like, well, those are people maybe mentioning Jews sometimes, but not even in a hateful manner, sometimes just analyzing if there is Jewish thought behind certain intellectual principles. And so your first layer of interpretation of this whole situation could be, well, ADL wanted to do a hit piece. They did a hit piece. Elon Musk thought, well, let's please the ADL this time. This time, somehow, Elon Musk decided, I'm not going to go against the ADL. I'm going to go with the ADL this time. Okay. Now there's another thing. Substack themselves, 2 days ago, they announced that they are basically copying Twitter going forward. They have been introducing a new product, Substack Notes, unlocking the power of the subscription network. So basically, they intend to have a whole network of people subscribe to Substack, but instead of people joining blogs to read a full long-form text by Millionaire Woes or Richard Spencer, you would have these little notes that are like tweets. And look at how similar the system is to Twitter, like, reply, retweet. It's all there. This is a copy of Twitter. And so your second layer of observation could be, well, okay, the ADL article had nothing to do with it. Elon Musk has been wanting to impose a iron fist against potential competition. He is frustrated that he's been investing so much money into Twitter and that it could be copied anytime like this. That, to me, still would be very weird. I have difficulty thinking that this alone would motivate Elon Musk to do such an anti-internet move. And the way I see Elon Musk acting, it makes me realize that Elon Musk does not even understand the value of Twitter. He somehow understands it instinctively, but I don't think he understands the value of a true town square of the internet, where truly people can self-promote, people can send people to their Substack. Because there's no rational reason why you'd be alarmed by any of this project. First, all Twitter clones have all failed. That is a rule. Like, do you remember ThinkSpot from Jordan Peterson? Holy shit. Have you tried going onto the Nosters and the Gabs? And they all fail. They all fail. And Substack, I don't see them becoming a competitor of any kind to Twitter. I can easily see this network playing a super specific function in linking individual users and subscribers with big stars, give them a kind of local network, just like Locals was supposed to do. But also Locals failed to do, simply because of the numbers. So it's not an open platform, it's a subscription-based platform, and so I don't see the big issue with this. To me, if Elon made this decision purely on competitive grounds, I would find it very weak. Ali Mayer says, poor JF is still waiting for his locals.com invite. That is not true. I am on Locals. Here's the link to my Locals. I post on it the show link every day, but I've not been gathering much subscribers. I think there's 35 people following me there. But I don't spend any time working on it. I don't spend any time dedicating content to it. It's just the links to my show. But I always kept it open by thinking, we never know with the other platforms, the censorship going on. It's good to have this option there standing in case censorship gets worse. Now we have a third point that is important to consider, and I had not thought about it before. Just before the show, I saw this tweet, a reminder that not long ago, Substack launched a crowdfunding campaign. Its writers and fans responded with more than 7.5 million in demand at a 585 million pre-money valuation. What none of those new investors knew, however, were Substack's recent financials. They still don't and won't. So is there something in relation to the fears that Substack, in doing this crowdfunding campaign, may have engaged in some sort of illegal security violation of some kind? I think we should consider it. I think that perhaps Elon has considered this a kind of initial coin offering of some sort, and has considered that, okay, that's too dangerous. This platform not only is copying Twitter, but is also raising money in a kind of so-so way. Because ICOs, initial coin offerings, and their equivalent in initial stock market offerings, are extremely regulated in America. So much so that Gab bans initial coin offerings. The fact is, you can't just go out on the internet and say, I'm offering a share of the company to you, pay me. There is no circumstance in which you can do this. You need someone who has followed the security courses. You need them to be a registered agent at the US government. It is super complicated. You just can't do it. You're going to have to delegate that task to a professional with a license. Is it possible that Substack has raised hell, has raised some dirt by doing this offering? I don't remember the details of the offering, but I think there was some talk about being an owner of the Substack community. If so, then they might be under investigation that we don't know about, but that somehow Elon has gotten wind of. And then he may have been scared, and this could explain why this happens. Now, I don't like each of these layers separated. I don't like layer one, just the ADL punking them randomly. I don't like the Elon Musk competitive angle, because I think, although Elon is confused many times, he's very confused often, I don't think he would be as confused as to not understand that free speech, especially given that the Twitter file journalists were all Substackers, basically. Matt Taibbi, this girl who left the New York Times, holy shit, it's like, you've trusted these people. I thought you were a super fan of Substack. How would you select and pick all of these independent journalists and then go after their main source of revenue? And apparently Matt Taibbi is pissed because now his main business was basically publish Substack articles, get his readers to subscribe, but then talk about it publicly on Twitter. So he can bring an audience to his Substack. Now he's very pissed and he's been asking questions to whatever contacts he had at Twitter. He says, earlier this afternoon, I learned Substack links were being blocked on Twitter. Since being able to share my articles is a primary reason I use Twitter, I was alarmed and asked what was going on. It turns out Twitter is upset that the new Substack notes feature, which they see as a hostile rival. When I asked how I was supposed to market my work, I was given the option of posting my articles on Twitter instead of Substack. Not much suspense there. I'm staying at Substack. You've all been great to me, as has the management of this company. Beginning early next week, I will be using the new Substack Notes feature, to which you'll all have access, instead of Twitter. A decision that apparently will come with a price as far as any future Twitter files reports are concerned. It was absolutely worth it, and I'll be always grateful to those who gave me the chance to work on that story. But man, is this a crazy planet. Have a great weekend, everyone. I'm off on vacation with my kids next week, but I'll check in. Best and take care, Matt. Matt Taibbi leaving Twitter months after being the star releasing the Twitter files. I cannot believe this. I just can't believe this. What a fuck up is happening here? Who is misunderstanding what? Elon is misunderstanding Substack. Elon. Substack is important in the current landscape of the internet. It is an underrated platform in terms of its willingness to stand by its creators. By the way, Substack has sent an email to people in reaction to all this. It gives no details and no specifics. But basically, the email is titled, How We Change the Internet. Direct relationships are the future. Substack is part of a seismic shift in the media economy that gives more power to writers and creators. When writers are in charge, they can have a direct relationship with their readers, do the work they believe is most important, and have the potential to make far more money than they could from other venues, where others reap the majority of the benefits from their work. The Substack model is thriving. The proof is that the imitations are failing and the incumbents are resisting. They go on and on. They say they will launch the notes feature. Substack may be a small upstart, but the combined reach of the writers on it, both in number and in cultural impact, is already tremendous. If enough of us choose to play this new game, it will work, and there's nothing anyone will be able to do to stop it. Thanks to all the writers and subscribers for helping make Substack what it is today, the next chapter is going to be even better. So they fully stand by their approach based around creators and consumers and say that that's our obsession. And you can see it in the way they have allowed controversial figures on there. They don't seem to go after people just for their name. It seems that you truly have to violate their objective TOS before you get banned. They seem to be applying their TOS with an objectivity that is unequaled anywhere else. And you know what they say in this email is very true. In the end, what is the fight here? The fight is between a model where creators are paid directly by their audience, and therefore they are the benefactor of most of the money. That's the Substack model. The Substack model is Substack is just a third-party player. It's basically a card processing company combined with a blogging platform. That's it. And most of the interaction is between the audience and the writer. Versus Twitter. What is Twitter? Well, Twitter is a platform where the third party has grown into a gigantic blob that takes over everything in society. A gigantic blob that attracts to their own interest rather than to the interest of the creator, most of the money. And that, so the difference between a Twitter contribution and a Substack contribution is most of the money goes to the Substack author, whereas in Twitter, most of the money goes to Twitter. It goes through the whole publicity system, and the subscription system is simply not advanced enough at this point to justify Twitter considering themselves a viable alternative to Substack. I know that Elon has allowed the subscribe button in the US. I can't have it because I'm in Canada. So already, Twitter is not even international in their ability to offer subscription. Twitter is just not in the business of proper subscription features. Now, Elon Musk probably thinks that he is. Oh, we've got the subscribe button, Matt Taibbi. Why don't you write on Twitter? Because no one wants to read a full article, long-form article, Elon, on your platform. Because your platform would suck if it was taken that way. Your platform sucks for deep journalism. Now, you may be 5 or 6 changes away from being a viable alternative to Substack. But don't bully Substack before you get there. No one will take seriously something that is strictly written on Twitter. It is just a tweet. And that's because of the form, that's because of the width of the display. you are just a couple of changes away from allowing this kind of thing. That would be beautiful. But for now, a Twitter account is a Twitter account, and it plays a completely separate role than what Substack is doing. And Matt Taibbi would have been journalistically insane to say, all right, I'm moving to Twitter only. By the way, Elon, Twitter Spaces is so unprofessional that I cannot plug it in my studio apparatus for audio. I cannot even stream audio easily from a desktop application because somehow Twitter Space is limited to use on the phone. So don't think, Elon, that you have the best platform out there for everything. You barely have the best platform for one thing, which is tweeting. But you don't have the best platform for video. You don't have the best platform for audio. You don't have the best platform for live discussion. Your fucking audio processing is crippled and robotic when I tried to put my studio sound in it, so much so that I tried actively to become a Twitter Space streamer, but I can't. Because your fucking Twitter Space platform is not even available on desktop. You don't even have software. We're not even beginning to Twitter being a app of everything. So Elon must learn his place in this whole landscape. There's a reason why Substack rose. And it's because Twitter is not good enough at doing these things. Alimer says, they don't really care what you say until you gain an audience. You can say whatever you want on Twitter if you're saying it to 90 people. If you're saying it to 9,000 people, they start to take notice, is what I've noticed. Oh, yeah, absolutely. A YouTube channel, you know, some people, they think that they are above the rules of YouTube. What they don't understand is the only reason you can allow yourself all these edgy things is because you're a small channel. YouTube reviews your channel when you attain 100,000 subscribers. And that's where they start banning people. And you have to have had a big YouTube channel to know this. But sometimes I go on YouTube channels, they allow themselves so much edgy things. And they're like, well, Jeff, why are you scared? Why shouldn't we say this? It's because this. If you say these things on YouTube, what it means is either your channel will remain small, or it's going to be banned once it gets big. John Drake says, amplification is the name of the game, no doubt. So I have presented three hypotheses. Here's a fourth one. The Pentagon wants to know who leaked secret Ukraine docs. Now, as far as I know, this is not particularly linked to Substack. This is the fact that earlier this week, a small number of printouts of purported U.S. intelligence on the war in Ukraine leaked on Twitter and the encrypted chat app Telegram. Labeled top secret, one of the documents provides a status of the conflict as of March 1st. So this war information, top secret documents for the Ukraine war, was leaked on Twitter. And the Pentagon requested Elon Musk reveals to them who were the people involved in this leak. Publicly, Elon has said, well, it's nonsense. We can't delete all of this. The internet is forever, and too late, it's been leaked. Now, that's interesting. Elon showing resistance publicly to the intelligence services of America. That's one thing. The question becomes, is it possible that in private, he told them a lot of info? Is it possible that he's making this bravado publicly, but in the back of the, behind the veil, he's like, yeah, here's all the info you've requested. I don't want any trouble. And also, I would raise the question, is it possible that this event gave the goosebumps to Elon Musk? The fact of being basically charged by the intelligence services, not charged in the sense of prosecution, but charged in the sense of, hey, we expect you to give us that info. Is it possible that it made Elon Musk very nervous on these three other layers also? And he became kind of paranoid that, oh, well, Will I be investigated by the SEC if I let Substack do their fundraise? Will I be criticized by the ADL if I don't block the hate speech of Substack? And on top of it, these fuckers, Substack, are starting a competitive platform to mine. Is it possible that Elon Musk integrated these four elements in his brain and said, you know what? I'm going to do like Scott Adams. I'm going to do one action, but for multiple reasons. I don't know, but to me, any of these reasons on their own seem very weird, very bizarre and creepy. But if you take the four together, you can even think perhaps the ADL going out is not random, that there is some sort of conspiracy between the ADL and some of the other players here, perhaps the intelligence services, perhaps Elon Musk himself. Perhaps the ADL article exists only to provide a pretext to Elon Musk so that he can take the decisions they wanted him to take. Perhaps they just added on top of what they knew would come, which was a charge onto Substack, because Substack has been making people afraid, because there is anti-government speech on there. There is a bunch of people of the resistance, you could call them. Resistance ideologically, resistance geopolitically. Substack has become a very scary agent for these people. And so I see some of these elements, especially the ADL attack, as probably premeditated and in prescience of what was to come. Perhaps the ADL had an idea that Substack was planning some sort of Elon Musk competitor. Perhaps they thought, you know what, that's the right moment to attack them, call them hate speech and call them white supremacists and anti-Semites. And with the cumul that we will get with the effect of the Pentagon asking stuff of Elon Musk, the effect of their new competitive platform to Twitter, we're going to push Elon in the direction we want. And we're gonna add a layer of peanut butter onto the toast. That would be this integrated solution to this enigma would be my favorite solution. So that is all my thoughts for the Substack affair, the Substack affair. I don't know what will turn out, and Elon has not spoken publicly. He has stayed absolutely silent on his Twitter account. He's been retweeting stuff from SpaceX and making irrelevant comments, but the whole community of Twitter is torn apart by this whole thing. Most people are totally fiberglassed by the decision of Elon, and most people support a town square view of Twitter where this is so similar to a couple of months ago, when Elon Musk started deciding that you cannot link any of your other social media accounts. So it shows that this deep issue that he had then has not been resolved. All that's been happening is he's now transferring this issue onto single targets like Substack. But Elon, many months ago, had written a new rule of Twitter that was saying you cannot even have a link tree in your bio. You cannot promote other platforms. I think Elon has a competitivity view that is unfit for the internet. It's been unfit on the internet since the very birth of the internet. Google has been making success by sending people to other platforms. Social media has been having success one after the other. The social media always have been permissive in terms of linking to other platforms. But this is taking it to a whole new level, just going right after an announcement that someone would become a kind of a competitor, to go after them and to try to crash them that way. Micronova says, YouTube also has disallowed linking other websites. Coincidence? I don't think it's a coincidence. I think there is something happening. This is why I call the whole thing an enigma. I think there is something so much bigger happening. But I think I'm touching it with the truths that I've laid out today. but I'm touching a bizarre form. I'm like, is this a boob? Is this not a boob? Is this a nose? Is this not a nose? There's something happening. And I feel so close to the truth, but yet there's I cannot even state a hypothesis as to how large this whole thing is. But there is something happening on the internet. There is something happening in a dinner somewhere in California, let me tell you. Lendolt Guntram says, some top guy, second CEO or something like this at Raytheon Tech, the company producing HIMARS launchers and missiles, just died a day or two ago together with wife and another couple in a plane crash somewhere in Florida. Maybe they had a copy of the Substack notes software, a copy of the Substack code. And here's another layer of linking. Is this all related to Elon releasing the Twitter code open source? Because not all of the Twitter code is open source, only the recommendation algorithm. But is it possible that Elon is particularly emotional because he feels like the Substack evolution toward the Twitter-like model has basically perhaps been caused by him releasing too much info about how Twitter works? That could explain why he has a little higher threshold, a little lower threshold. He's a little more on edge. He's on tilt right now because he considers that he has opened himself a part of his armor, and now he's becoming paranoid that an arrow will come to hurt him. John Drake says, Elon must know proprietary systems aren't the future. I don't get it. I mean, again and again, the history of the internet is made precisely by non-proprietary systems. Proprietary systems, they're good to squeeze out a bunch of money on a certain limit of time, and eventually you're going to fail because something better will come. And proprietary system, they just serve to get the money out of the system as quickly as you can, and you better be quick because you're going to fail eventually. But open systems, they have long-lasting history. And they kind of allow you to cement a form of monopoly, because when something is opened and free and accessible, it's hard to replace it, because it's hard to do something better than this. The trans activism continues. A series of events of TPUSA were targeted by trans activists and people who claim that women, trans women are women. And here we had a speaker who is the sports person who is a true woman and who lost to Leah Thomas, the trans woman swimmer or whatever they do, something in the water. So this is the athlete, the little blonde there, and the police is taking her out because a crowd of radical trans activists have been coming to circle her and attack her.
It's just me. I'm good. I'm good. I'm coming, I'm good, I'm good. Trust me, I'm good.
It's so stunning visually. Because the beautiful woman, I mean, she has the body of an athlete, which is very sad because she's over-muscled and everything. But still, it's probably the most beautiful girl in this crowd that we see on camera. The beautiful woman is being persecuted by a bunch of other women who are each more ugly than the other.
You crying?
ugly, ugly, ugly. Ugly, ugly man.
Fuck you!
I mean, you have bleach in your hair, bro. I had bleach in my hair when I was 14 years old. And it was kind of out of fashion back then. Ugly purple hair, ugly with a tie, ugly with this weird haircut, ugly trans woman or real woman.
Bye, bitch!
You dress like a communist.
And look at this, the punk with dirty Joker hair.
Fuck you!
Ugly. Ugly hippie with a hat. Ugly purple hair. Ugly, 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 ugly. Acceptable woman here. All right, so people are starting to be alarmed because now we've had a couple of trans activist shooters. We now have these mobs of trans activists committing violence against speakers, not letting them speak. Micronova sends a super chat. He says, low value woman attacking a higher value woman, envy. Yeah, they want to turn into communism, the whole free market of sexual attraction. And that is what all of leftism almost is, really. Sometimes it's directed against men, sometimes it's intra-woman, and sometimes it's like replacing the man with the state. But you're not far from reality if you see leftism through the lens of an attack on sexual reproduction, sexual selection. Charlie Kirk was saying, in just 1 week, violent radicals on 3 of America's university campuses have attacked TPUSA events and speakers from coast to coast. Last night at SFSU, TPUSA hosted a Saving Women Sports event with a star swimmer, Riley Gaines, when radical trans activists physically assaulted her and then barricaded her in a safe room for hours. On Tuesday night, another TPUSA event at the University of Albany featuring pro-life speaker Iga Wirth was interrupted by anti-Christian far-left students who proceeded to destroy a Bible. And last Thursday, far-left students hijacking a pro-life event at Virginia Commonwealth University featuring TPUSA speaker the Isabelle and Students for Life, Christian Hawkins, as protesters threw punches and injured a chapter president. But I want to say something to Charlie Kirk and all these people. Aaron McIntyre also has a good, he has a good thread. I wouldn't say what I'm saying to Aaron McIntyre. A very good thread about the leftist plan for transgenderist violence. Basically, they want to provoke the right, or whatever you want to call the center-right. They want to provoke the center-right into replying. They want to do what they've done in Charlottesville, basically, which is put the other in a situation where the only thing is they have is self-defense, and then film the act of self-defense and say, ah, see, violence, physical violence. But the thing is, when you commit these mob kidnappings and mob surroundings and literal assault, the problem is the self-defense is justified. So anyways, I would like to say to someone like Charlie Kirk, we all knew this was building in America, and you were doing nothing when it was Richard Spencer who had to cancel his college tour. You weren't there to speak up for Richard Spencer. So we knew that it was impossible to engage with cognitive diversity on US campuses, and it has been before you were even an e-celeb or a celeb of some kind, Charlie Kirk. You would have had then the opportunity to speak up and stand up for this cause, but you only stand for it now. Now that it's your people, now that you're planning to dominate the college circuit, I would have appreciated if I could hear you on the more broad question of the attacks that were made against people in Charlottesville, against Richard Spencer, that were ultimately premonitory to your own situation today. Meta Recruiter says she was paid $200,000 per year to do nothing. To do nothing? There's an H normally in nothing, am I right? Well, was she taking notes or was she doing nothing? A former Meta recruiter who has reinvented herself as a career coach says she was paid $190,000 per year to do nothing. Tampa, Florida-based Madeline Machado, 33, said that during a typical day she would log on around 11 a.m. when her West Coast colleagues would show up for work, sit in meetings from noon until 3:30 p.m., and then check LinkedIn for an hour before logging off. Ms. Machado, who held a position as a recruiter, says that after joining the company in September 2021, she spent much of her time in meetings that didn't accomplish anything, and that the parent of Facebook and Instagram had too many recruiters and not enough work for them to do. We just don't hire anybody, and like, we still get paid. I do think a lot of these companies wanted there to be work, but there wasn't. So they were just kind of like hoarding us, like Pokemon cards. I was like, am I being set up for failure? Well, you know, you were lucky to be able to have this opportunity to drain from the financial system. That being said, it is the state of companies in America. I've been saying it. You can fire 80% of the workforce and the world keeps going. So yes, that is the picture of Riley Gaines who got attacked. You know, this kind of hyper-muscled female with confidence and super large jaw and closed up eyes. You know, the eyes are very close to each other. Like, this is scary. Like, your eyes, the distance between your eyes is smaller than the size of your chin. It's like she's making a triangle with her face. Look at it. The proportion between this distance here and this chin right here. I mean, it is almost like it seems photoshopped, but it's not photoshopped. This is what competitive sport does to the female body, which is why I'm all for turning the women's category into an exclusive trans woman category. Just don't have women's sport at all. I mean, if it's going to be a problem to get your cranium bashed in UFC by a biological man, why not give up the idea of a woman's category? Let's have men and then trans women. And then females go back to the kitchen. Chicago braces for tax shock after Uber progressive mayor elected. Residents of the Democratic stronghold of Chicago just elected another Democrat mayor to replace Lori Lightfoot. They say there will be a wave of tax increases, but how can that even be the case? Can you even make money in Chicago anymore? Who pays taxes? Maybe there's a bunch of people who own real estate and somehow they succeed at making money in Chicago, but I don't see the grocery stores making money. I don't see the convenience stores making money. Cernovich was saying today, hugely significant case that's not getting nearly enough coverage. This man was stopped in the streets by rioters, had an AK-47 put in his face. He defended himself. Police cleared him, Then Soros DA in Austin, Texas, personally intervened. And I don't know what was the outcome, but someone was saying on Twitter that he ended up in jail. Well, Cernovich says Daniel Perry case remains with the jury. So there's our answer. He's not he's in jail probably, but the case is in the hand of the jury. We are over hour 15 of jury deliberation. Still no sign as to when a verdict will be made. So here we have a clear case of self-defense, Kyle Rittenhouse style. But the question is, can we get a fair trial in Austin, Texas? Because you might have this opinion that Texas is this whole great place for firearm rights, but Austin, Texas is almost as hipster as any small town, any regular town in California. Rebel the Racist Race Car says, I saw he got convicted on Twitter, I think. Okay, well, those are the last news I got. Too bad, because we don't know where you can get a fair trial anymore, and we don't know where to live. And so many people, anyways, will be forced to live in these leftist areas. So people are complaining about the kicking out of two black Democrat politicians in Tennessee. This morning, 130,000 Tennesseans woke up without full representation in their state government, saying that the two representatives can be reappointed and reelected is no answer. This is a crisis for democracy. DOJ must act. But I thought that these leftists were super happy when people were getting punished for participating to insurrections. And so I'm confused at this point. I said, so is it okay to disrupt the legislative process through protest, or is it an insurrection? I'm confused. Because you have to understand something. It's one thing for a bunch of MAGA fools with red caps on their head to go into the Capitol. It's another thing for a member of the Democratic Assembly, the Congress, to, like, you are in a system where you would have to wait for your turn to speak. Now you bring a mob with you, and that's what happened in Tennessee, where basically three politicians decided to join the protest inside the Capitol that was blocking the democratic process from moving forward. And there's a problem, because then you're violating the rules that make it fair for all politicians in a democracy. You are speaking out of turn, really. But you're speaking with a mob, and you're speaking with violence and blockade. So I'm totally fine. I mean, you cannot operate a democracy in which the guy with the biggest mob to get into the Congress would win. It's like, why not make gladiator combats at this point? If it's democracy, you need to let the different representatives speak in turn in equal time, etc. You can't just arrive with your leftist mob and say, it's going to be my turn to speak for the next 5 hours. I have enough men to back me. What are you going to do? Lendald Guntram says, leftists will spin any rules just to profit somehow, not interested in deontological principles at all. No, they have zero. They can reshape everything. But let's call this what it was. It was an insurrection. An insurrection against the great state of Tennessee. Someone else was also sharing this hypothesis that the ADL story is totally aligned and behind this whole Substack ban today on Twitter. Legislator switches to GOP, says Democrats villainize anyone who has free thought. A North Carolina Democratic legislator handed a decisive victory to the Republican Party Wednesday by defecting and ensuring a veto-proof majority. The modern-day Democratic Party has become unrecognizable to me and others across the state. I will not be controlled by anyone. If you don't do exactly what the Democrats want you to do, they will try to bully you. They will try to cast you aside. They have pushed me out. But it's good. That's good that there are people who are annoyed by what this leftist way of bullying their enemies and bullying their own. Some people are getting tired of this, and it's good to see someone veer sides and take our sides for once. This is so sad, but it is exactly why you have to homeschool. It's because your children are going to be handled by people who, the way they will treat your children is somewhat close to the way they would treat their own children. But their standard is way too low for you and I. Like, their life is abuse. And so when they go to work in a kindergarten to care for the babies of others, what seems to be for them just their regular life going on and continuing, for you, it may be the first time that your child is exposed to abuse when you bring him to the kindergarten. So this is a case of parents. They kept seeing their child come back from the kinder care learning center, as they call it. And he was super violent. He was reactive in a way that seemed totally out of place for his regular personality. So they started suspecting that some sort of abuse or violence happened at the kinder care. And they've attached a secret microphone into the jacket of the child. And they caught what was happening all day, which is a bunch of uneducated, violent, abusive women who are in charge of these children and who are just dangerous to be around children.
And in December,
sewed this small recording device into her daughter's fur jacket.
Okay, it was the daughter, not the son, a daughter.
For nearly 7 hours, it recorded two employees of the Early Childhood Learning Center cursing. One of them repeatedly berated the Hernandez's toddler and other small children inside the facility.
You're nasty.
You're nasty. I'm about to throw some swings at some of y'all right now.
I'll touch it and you die.
Touch it and you die. Sit your fucking ass down, or whatever was beeped out.
Go!
I'll start some violence just for her.
Get away from me, because I will end up in jail.
Aaron had
just get away from me because I will end up in jail. This is a regular way of speech for some people in America, and the fact is that in the current state of the employment market, you are forced to hire these people. But the problem is that this way of raising a child is incompatible with anyone who has known good parenting, anyone who's coming from just a decent family. You don't need to have come from wealth to know that this is an environment that will fuck up a child forever. And I'm not surprised that he was coming back from this place, and he had behavioral problems that suddenly showed up, because when you put the brain of the child into this kind of defensive reactive mode where the adults around him are untrustable or violent toward him, of course he's put in a state of fear, and then the state of fear subsides after he comes home. So there's no solution to this. They're going to keep employing incompetent people like this because they have to. Micronova says, what is your opinion about an AI that controls robots that run daycares? Revolutionary nanny type? Or butter up children to allow friendly AI to modify genes when the robot dad adopted children? I'm against it. That sounds terrible. No, I don't see why we would do this. I'm all for children to be exposed to technology, to have access to the richness of the content library of the internet. Of course, not all of it, with supervision and with boundaries. But no, using the opportunity to modify genes of the babies so so that they become the adopted children of their own biological parent? No, no, no. That would be the revolutionary phenotype. Small bank deposits plunged $275 billion in March. There's just one thing. That tiny outflow was revised to a massive $47 billion outflow according to this week's data. Small banks saw a tiny $1.1 billion outflow, which prompted much rejoicing early on Monday when markets opened. So just how much will this last week's data be revised next week? Okay, I don't know how to interpret all these curves, but what it looks like to me is there was a big crisis and there is a return to equilibrium. We are not in the fall of the dominoes yet, or perhaps we never will be. This video was published by PETA. The anti-animal suffering organization. And they say on their tweet, when it comes to pain and suffering, fish feel it all. And they show, for evidence of this tweet, the fact that a fillet of fish, literally a fish that has been filleted, continues to make swimming movements after its head has been completely cut. So to be clear, the reason this is happening, and I turned out to have done my PhD thesis on CPGs, central pattern generators. They are parts of the brain or spinal cord or brainstem, well, mostly brainstem and spinal cord. They are generators of patterns that are motor, that are locomotor or respiratory, for example. They basically have the program inside the neural network to independently generate your locomotor movement. And that's why if you cut the head of a chicken, the chicken can very well continue walking. It's because this movement that the chicken does, this is all programmed in the spinal cord. And it's also the case for you. You don't need your brain to be able to walk. It's weird, but that is true. And it's the same thing for fish. They don't need their brain to be able to swim. This contraction, left, right, left, right, left, right, that is a contraction that is completely encoded in neurons that work in the spinal cord. They inhibit each other's side. When one side is active, the other side is shut down. The other side activates. The other side shuts down again. That's how it works. And you have, therefore, certain patterns of your movements that are completely central in nature. You don't have to think about it because it's in your spinal cord. All you have to do is decide to walk, and your spinal cord handles the detail of your walking. You have to extend this muscle of the leg, and you have to advance it, and then this leg, and then this leg. And that is how locomotion works. That doesn't mean that the fillet of fish is feeling something. Justice Thomas crushes the left's billionaire-funded trips impeachment dreams. Ever since the rapist accepting nazification of the Supreme Court during President Trump's term in office, the left has been desperate for ways to counter the trans-friendly conservative majority. The latest cunning plan was to demand Justice Clarence Thomas be immediately impeached for hanging out with rich friends. In case you missed it, the left was gleeful and cries of "We got him this time" rang out on Twitter after. But Justice Thomas and Ginny never asked for any of this hospitality. Thomas responded to the circus in a statement released by the Supreme Court's Public Information Office on April 7 that Harlan Crow and his wife, Katie Crow, I've been friends with Thomas and his wife for over 25 years. As friends do, we have joined them on a number of family trips during the more than quarter century we have known them. Early in my tenure at the court, I sought guidance from my colleagues and others in the judiciary and was advised that this sort of personal hospitality from close personal friends who did not have business before the court was not reportable. I have endeavored to follow that counsel throughout my tenure and have always sought to comply with the disclosure guidelines. So there it is. That's the response of Clarence Thomas. It's like, I don't have to report the fact that I do vacations with a guy I've known for 25 years. And I agree. And even if he had business in front of the court, I personally don't care. He has the right to have friends. You don't stop having friends. Even if they're rich, you don't stop having friends when you become a Supreme Court justice. And last news item before we close the show. There's this new technology, which I'm like, this is completely ridiculous, and I don't see why you would want this. So it's a goggle that you can put on so that you can watch a sports match as if you were in the crowd. But look at how it looks. Is it really a gain in the experience here to see a virtual super cheap hand and to think, oh yeah, this is, I'm in the crowd. Oh yeah, there's hands around me. There's people around me. And look at this. People don't even have pants. I mean, they don't even have legs at this point. But it's the Meta Horizon Worlds so that you can feel that you're sitting there. First, this kind of angle is going to make you miss a lot of the action compared to a professional broadcast, because you're not going to see, you're going to miss a lot of action. And on top of it, I mean, these crowd members are totally obstructive. Look at this. The action is happening here. And there's this legless woman, legless and hairless woman, just obstructing the view. Do people really want this experience? Oh, and now they're throwing confettis and all. And you can see that the seats are empty in the stadium. Is that the future we're looking at? People engaging virtually like this and no one in the seats anymore? Oh, wow, you can even put a number one cheering article for free. Of course, because it's virtual, so it's free. Well, that's a good saving, I would say. If you have the type of personality that would buy this crap at overpriced levels, it's good that it's free. And so now you are wearing your number one, and you can also obstruct your own view by your own hand. You can even fist bump your friend, your black friend. I'm not racist. I keep watching basketball with my black friend in Meta Horizon. Thank you.